This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Fun Friday. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and should we or shouldn't we? Well, last week's Culture Pop's Matt Armitage couldn't make up his mind. This week, he's even more confused. Surprise, surprise. So last week, Matt, we talked about net neutrality, privacy, killer AI, voting rights for robots, and talking toasters. What's left to discuss?
Hey, Jeff. Actually, I bumped into a friend a couple of days ago. So, hi, Hang, if you're listening. Enjoy the jersey. Yes, and he said to say hello to Jeff as well. But it's always the killer robots that people remember. You know, I could make the most kind of poignant and profound statement in the world on this show, and it would still be killer robots that I'm asked about every time. So, it's really simple. Robots are going to kill us all. And because they're going to be really intelligent, they're going to be very inventive about it. Mm. There's going to be a lot of very sharp whirring things that do the job very slowly while the robots sit around sipping castrol and laughing at us in our agony. Incidentally, it is nice that my friends do tune into the show because God knows we have few enough listeners as it is. But I do know which of the friends don't listen to the show because they're always the ones who WhatsApp me and ask me for recommendations for Android phones.
They should listen
to me. I don't know what they're listening to,
well,
but
they should listen to you.
Yeah. Anyway, I've indulged my ego enough for 1 week, and we've still got a lot of these should we's to get through. Because one area that we largely avoided last week was ourselves. You know, a lot of this ethical should we nonsense revolves around us and the things that we're going to be able to do in the very near future and also to do to the planet.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of interesting as we're also on the cusp of sending people to live semi-permanently on other worlds. So there's all of these things that we really have to examine about ourselves, about our environment, and about, you know, our place in the universe.
All right, so let's start with something less intrusive ways of modifying our behavior and characteristics.
Okay, a lot of people already take pills and other chemicals to enhance their mood, and I'm not talking about the illegal stuff. I'm talking prescription antidepressants and tranquilizers. You know, they help a lot of people with conditions like depression and anxiety. And we've also talked a lot on the show about scientists who are working with the flora in our gut and microbes and using those to influence our mood and our mind. And all of these things are really great, but we're also coming to the point where we can start taking medications that would also be able to control the way we think and control our behavior as well. So some people think that, you know, it would make us more happy, might make us more content, but it would also narrow our thinking and make us more pliable. So it's the idea that in an age of kind of, you know, these booming, blossoming populations, this is one way to keep our society safe and peaceful, you know, to take the edge off everyone. But it could also border on mind control, you know, giving control of our lives over to governments or even to corporations.
Yeah. Now, we've touched on rights for robots and the pluses and minuses of sentient AI the last time you were here. And the one thing we discussed was the possibility of AI being implanted into people's brains with the help of neurological conditions.
Yeah, we did a whole episode on this a few months ago. So if you're interested in this topic, you can search through our podcast for the episode on transhumanism that we did last November. Wow, it wasn't a few months, was it?
Yeah,
that's actually nearly a year ago. but that's the thing. Time flies when you don't have a brain implant and total recall. So we are about to start blurring the lines between human and machine. And the brain, I think, is going to be one of the big battle points for this discussion.
And I believe our old friend Elon Musk brought up AI this week.
Yes, we are very prescient with the way we do these stories, right? this week, Musk and Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg had a very public spat over artificial intelligence. Musk sent out this quite cutting tweet that he'd spoken to Zuckerberg about AI, and Zuckerberg doesn't really understand the issues. And Zuckerberg kind of replied by saying that Musk is overreacting and that AI has, you know, a great deal of positive potential for humanity and, of course, for delivering kitten videos on Facebook.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But it's interesting because Musk also mentioned killer robots in his press comments. He doesn't want us to get to the point of where, you know, robots are rampaging in the streets before we try and tackle this kind of problem with AI. But that's a really good example of the should we, shouldn't we conundrum. You've got Zuckerberg saying we should go with AI. You've got Elon Musk saying we shouldn't. And they're both pioneers. They both have a very different outlook. So I do wonder, will the robot that kills Musk be wearing a Facebook logo?
Wow. Well, let's assume that robots are not going to kill us before the end of the show. Were we talking about humans becoming increasingly mechanical?
Exactly. I mean, organs are one example. Artificial hearts have become a bit of a joke with movies like Crank, but they actually exist. They are a last resort and they don't last very long. But we don't consider these people any less human because a machine is powering them. But, you know, it's a case of where do we kind of begin if we want to start drawing that line? A lot of people with pacemakers, for example, they no longer have a regular pulse. Does that mean they're a machine? You know, obviously no. And then we get into the whole area of replacement parts. What if you have an artificial limb or two? Does that make you a cyborg? And, of course, does it matter how complex those pieces of robotics are? So we know that artificial limbs are becoming increasingly complicated. It won't be long before they can be plumbed directly into our central nervous system and we can control them as naturally as a normal flesh or blood hand or arm. So is it going to be a case that the degree of integration into our bodies makes a difference? So again, this idea, and we touched on it last week, of what is and isn't a human is really an urgent one that we need to address.
And I think most of our listeners would already sort of understand where the issues stand in terms of, you know, medical interventions. But how does the argument change when the enhancements are cosmetic or voluntarily?
Well, that's a really sort of big question, because if you come off a motorbike, for example, and lose your legs and doctors give you new mechanical ones, I don't think anyone's going to take out a book and a pen and change your status from human being to cyborg. But if you replace perfectly healthy legs with robot ones just so that you could run faster or longer, I'm not sure what the answer would be. I don't know if many of our listeners watched Logan, the final Hugh Jackman Wolverine movie earlier this year, but I found it really interesting that mutants, people with naturally occurring mutant genes, human beings, were being hunted down by humans with limbs that had been replaced by robotic ones to increase their strength and stamina. So who was more or less human in that scenario, the mutant or the cyborg soldier? So I think these are kind of very pressing issues for the quite near future.
Wow. All right. Now we'll take a short break in just a moment and we'll discuss more when we come back with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. You're listening to Fun Friday on BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
And we're back and you're listening to Fun Friday with me, Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Matt, let's go back to the top. You know, should we mess with the brain? Should we enhance intelligence artificially?
Well, think about it. Technology might genuinely be about to cure the world's most common and destructive disease, which is stupidity.
Right.
I mean, you're laughing, but it's kind of true.
It is.
We could be looking at a world where no one is dumb, where everyone has every fact at their disposal and they have enough processing power to understand how stars are formed. You know, it sounds kind of wonderful, but it does mean that we have to ask questions like, what will it mean if you have a chip in your brain? Do the memories belong to you if they're on some kind of SD card, or do they now belong to SanDisk or Kingston? And again, what happens if you put that SD card in someone else's head? Mm. Are those still your memories, or are those memories now somebody else's? Mm. And you also have to ask yourself, do you actually want the gift of perfect recall? It sounds great if you were able to playback every second of every day in totality. Yeah, exactly. Would it really be that great? Think about all the photos that you take now. Back when we used film cameras and even standalone digital cameras, photos were something that we valued. And how many photos are on your phone now, Jeff?
Yeah. I need an SD card just to store my photos in my phone.
Exactly. Yeah. And how often do you go back through them?
So actually, I've been going back to them quite often, only because, you know, we've been talking about this and I value and treasure them. But before, never actually.
Not very often. And also, I mean, very often I find that Facebook shows me a photo from my archive and I've got no memory of taking that photo. I've no memory of being at that event and I've got no memory of those people. So, you know, maybe our brains forget some of these things for a reason. And there are very sound evolutionary principles behind our mind's ability to remember all the good stuff and forget the bad stuff. One of the reasons that women have another baby is because they tend to forget the absolute agony of childbirth. You know, the mind does its business to massage that memory. And do we also want, you know, do we want to get to a stage where we've got petabytes of these really boring, banal memories sitting, you know, the memories of us sitting in a traffic jam, sitting on server somewhere? I mean, I said it last week. It does sound silly, but the technology is actually very nearly here. We're very close to having this technology. So we really need to understand the implications before we start to implement it.
Mm. And now another area we're making huge strides is in gene therapies and technology. We're on the verge of being able to selectively design babies, new humans, Matt, from, you know, their base cells.
This is such a cool issue. I mean, it's a really exciting one and it's really huge. I mean, we talk about mechanical enhancement and transhumanism. This is even bigger. You're talking about essentially engineering the next evolutionary jump in human development. And some commentators are actually calling this the dawn of a post-human era, the dawn where we get to the new stage in post-human development.
All right. Now, what kind of changes we're talking about here?
Some are big, some are small. Yeah. You know, it could be as simple as selecting the sex of the child for starters. And we know that that generally leads to imbalances where there are a lot more men born than women. And that's never a good thing for societies that want to continue to be stable. But other bigger things, we could cut out the genes for blindness or deafness or diabetes. Oh, yeah. Or, you know, we could find out if stupidity has a gene. Cut that one out. In fact, some medical thinkers are actually arguing that there could be a moral requirement to do all of these things once we have the technology to do so, because, you know, you're trying to create the best person that you can. And there is kind of a counter debate about what we consider to be valuable or worthwhile in a person. You know, what about all of those quirks, the things that make us individuals? I'm rewatching Battlestar Galactica at the moment. So the humanoid robots in that show, they're called Cylons. They're all variations on 8 human models. So there are millions of versions of the same person. And as the show's tagline goes, there are many copies. But is that the future that we're pushing towards? Are we pushing towards this kind of homogenization of the human species? And we're thinking that this is going to be an improvement? It's a really complicated issue.
Yeah, but isn't every parent's dream is to do their best for their kids?
It is, but when you talk about enhancing, you're talking about pushing people towards a very narrow definition of what's desirable in a person. So we get into that position of, are we enhancing people or are we actually diminishing them? Think about the DNA, for example. Our genes throw up these anomalies and these modifications and these mutations because those are the things that have allowed our species to thrive and survive over thousands of years. If we're all hacking them and tweaking them within a very narrow band, are we building a tribe of people who will be genetically very, very similar? We may be selecting the so-called best genes, but are we in that turn suppressing genes that are going to be crucial to, say, the long-term survival of humanity as a species? We could engineer it, for example, that everyone is born with an immunity to measles, which would be a good thing. But could the flip side of that leave everyone open to some new pathogen? Because, if you have that lack of genetic diversity, could a virus then sweep through the population like a plague? So could we actually be weakening our defenses because we're reducing the amount of diversity in the gene pool? Mm.
And I guess a lot of people would argue that we would gain more than we lose, though.
Well, we tend to talk about normal people as though normal people exist. They don't. No, the nice thing is that no one is actually normal. Yeah. When we come across someone who meets that personal definition we have of normal, we're usually pretty amazed because we don't meet somebody who is
A surprise.
What we consider normal. Yeah, it's a surprise. It's very rare to meet them. I mean, how many normal people are there in the BFM office?
None.
Right.
They're all weird in their own way.
So, yeah, exactly. But I mean, this is an example I came across recently, and I don't know if it's apocryphal, but the US Air Force originally designed its cockpits around the average size of its pilots.
Mm.
And of course, it turned out that there weren't any average pilots. As a result, instead of having a cockpit that was comfortable for most pilots, which was what they were hoping for, they actually had a cockpit that was uncomfortable and impractical for every pilot. And that, of course, affected their ability to fly.
Right.
So cockpits were redesigned with sliding and adjustable seats and other modifications so that they could comfortably accommodate all kinds of body sizes and shapes. Because if we think about trying to create this new norm for people, we could be designing the people who fit in that average cockpit.
Wow.
And I think that would be a shame because humanity's diversity, the good and the bad of it, it's part of our strength and it's what kind of makes us interesting as a species.
Mm. On one area we haven't really touched on is the cost of all this technology, man.
Of course, I'm saving the best for last, as ever. I mentioned before that some doctors think that everyone should be offered these upgrades as a matter of course once we have the technology.
Right.
But as we know, most countries don't have a universal healthcare. So we have to ask, are we going to allow two streams of humankind to emerge?
Ooh.
Exactly, depending on who has the money and who doesn't have the money. So we could end up with Homo sapiens, people like us, and we could end up with these trans or post-humans because it's quite likely that it will come down to money. So are we heading towards a future where the rich have access to all the genetic tweaks and all the good brain implants while the poor people, it's either staying the way that they were made or maybe even having to accept demands from employers to have bits of their bodies replaced to be more efficient at their job, because that's quite possible. It's, you know, Amazon telling you, okay, I think you ought to have these robo-grip arms because that will enable you to reach things on much higher shelves. So
it's like a slave then.
Well, exactly. We could end up being these kind of cyborg slaves where companies get to decide which parts of us get cut off and upgraded and enhanced.
Through reward processes and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So you kind of get to these really difficult questions like, what is your place in this kind of enhanced society? If you have implants that enhance your intelligence, are you still the same species as somebody who doesn't have the same upgrades? Are you a human? Are you a post-human? And will post-humans rule over humans? Anyway, I haven't got through half of this stuff, so next week there's going to be even more should we's.
All right, Matt Armitage there talking about should we or shouldn't we in terms of upgrading ourselves. We'll be right back with more BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.